Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York. Have a great show, boys.
Thank you, Aaron, and we will talk to you at 4 o'clock, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It is, It's May 12th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours.
Sure.
And the other 20, that's your responsibility. I've got a weather update for you guys. 92 degrees in Chicago.
What?
I packed totally incorrectly. No shorts, no short sleeves, no yes polo shirt, nothing. So if you tune in tonight, you'll see a big, fat, sweaty slob on TV.
Oh, I love that big, fat, sweaty slob, though.
Yeah. Not good.
How is that possible?
Yeah. It was cold last week, they said, and then they didn't have spring. They went right into summer.
That's global warming, ice caps melting, stuff like that.
How about this? On my weather app here, starting Saturday, the high is 70. And the high stays in the 70s all the way for a week. I have not seen that anything close to that yet. So that's the beginning of it actually being spring. Now, I usually remember spring starting in late April, not May 15th. But, hey, we'll get there.
Hey, that weather report is so 2021.
I know.
Well, if you want to, like, have really hot weather, Peter, I'm here for 4 days. Come on down. We'll stay by, you know, hang out on Lakeshore Drive. We'll have a great time.
Tremendous.
Get a little tan. That's what I'm talking about. Now, we have breaking news, by the way. He's done it again, ladies and gentlemen. He has done it again. Don once again has COVID. It's amazing.
Anything worth doing once is worth doing twice, I guess.
Nah, you've got it again, Don. How did this happen?
Damn it.
I don't know how. Well, I know how it happened. Taking my first trip in 26 months, and there were several people on the trip that tested positive, as you'll be able to tell from some of the scheduling the rest of the series. And I had symptoms when I got back from Pittsburgh, and I tested negative. Tested again, negative. Had a PCR test, negative. But I'm like, this is not right. This does not feel like just your average cold or flu. Then eventually, the doctor jammed the swab so far up my nose, I thought it like pierced my brain. And they got the positive test. My only symptom is what you're hearing, is my voice, which I've lost. And I'm going to bow it out early, guys, because I just can't do this for 4 hours. I don't think you want to hear it for 4 hours. Because the kids are going to think Cookie Monster's on the show instead of Don LaGreca.
Yeah.
But
how long are you going to try to go?
I figure I'd give you this segment because there's so much going on, and I wanted to let everybody know that I'm okay.
Okay, good.
But unfortunately, I did test positive, so that means I got to quarantine for 5 days, which kills me, Michael, because I'm scheduled to be on the call tomorrow.
Oh.
And if there is a Game 7, I would have been scheduled to be on that.
Oh.
So it does bother me that I will miss that.
Are you definitely out for both?
The call. Stemmer's going to be doing color, and it'll be fine, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, so.
Who's on the call? We missed you because Peter stepped all over you.
I believe it's Ed Cohen and Pete Stemkowski.
And this is Ed Cohen's first hockey game ever, so it should be interesting.
I don't know. He did a devil game during COVID.
Okay.
On television. Okay. Big hockey
great
fan.
Nick announcer.
Ed's a big hockey fan, too. So they'll do a great job. But, yeah, it just stinks. So everybody was asking where were I yesterday. So just figure I'll let you know. Everything's fine. Tested positive. But, again, my only symptom is I kind of lost my voice. But we march on, Michael.
You got some antivirals in your system or what?
I do.
A little Paxlovid?
Whatever they call it.
The blister packs?
No, I had it intravenous.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Jam it up!
Yeah, I've heard that doesn't work.
Who said that?
My doctor. He said, antivirals like that don't you need Paxlovid. I told you yesterday. I texted you. Get Paxlovid.
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you mean you're sorry?
Well, you're not Dr. K. I mean, I got doctors on my end, so Peter, who would you listen to?
Yeah, but these are urgent care doctors.
They're not urgent care doctors.
It was an emergency room situation. I don't know. Michael's probably...
My urgent care doctor's a quack!
Well, these were urgent care doctors in direct contact with my other doctors.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah.
How do you feel besides the voice being...
Good.
You don't feel sick. Like,
no.
When you lay around tonight, you'll be quiet to rest your voice, but you're going to be enjoying yourself being fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. All right.
It's just the voice is not there, and I don't want to have a situation like what Michael went through a few years ago.
No, that would be bad.
So.
No. Now, you don't need a situation like you had a few months ago.
Let's put the blame on someone. This is pretty much Maloney's fault, right?
No, I don't think there's anybody to blame when it comes to this, Michael.
Oh, I can blame people.
Yeah.
I know exactly how I got it. I put blame on the school system that made the kids take off their masks. I mean, Charlie got it. Charlie gave it to me. Boom, I know who did it.
Yeah, but
who gave it to you?
But the blame game can go like channeled all the way to, you know, 2.5 years ago in a lab someplace, right? So why bother? This is just the way life is. It stinks. You take every precaution, but what are you going to do?
All right.
This is life. But as long as everybody's healthy at the end of the day, it stinks to miss stuff. It stinks not to feel great for a couple of days, but, you know, it beats the alternative.
Well, I'm blaming Maloney. Anyway,
it's not right.
Let's talk about Game 5. If the Rangers don't win this series, they did see one thing. The kids are all right. The kid line really turned it all around. And the veterans still continue to struggle, but the kid line really did its job, and now we're looking at a Game 6 tomorrow, which we'll have right here on 98.7. And who knows? And if Sidney Crosby is out, he's being tested for a concussion, and we're not going to know that until right before the game. They're not going to tip their hand. But he's had problems with concussions before. I'd be surprised if he plays tomorrow night. The Rangers have a chance. They have a chance.
Of course they do. And, yeah, that Hedl, Lafreniere, and Kako line were spectacular. They combined for 4 points, and they were tremendous. And all series, and that's why I kind of cringe when I hear, and I'm guilty of it too. Well, guys, they're the youngest team in the postseason, which they are. But I don't think they're in the situation they're in because they're young. Because the kids, other than Fox, who I don't think has had a great series, although he scored last night, Lafreniere, Kako, have all been good. You know, and I don't think Shesterkin's been overwhelmed by the moment, but I thought he was great last night too, and he needed to be. They overcome a 2-goal lead. And they now force a Game 6, Crosby up in the air, and there'll be a lot of conversations. Should Trouba be disciplined for the hit? You can look at it a million different ways. Some people thought he targeted the head with his elbow. Other people felt that the stick kind of moved the elbow up. I don't think he had any intent to hit him in the head. The league agreed. So that kind of puts to sleep the whole, they want the Penguins to win. They want Sidney Crosby. Darnell Nurse of the Edmonton Oilers headbutted Philip Deneau of the Los Angeles Kings. Peter headbutted him right in the head, right in the face. He got a game.
Right.
So are you going to give Trouba a game for what he did to Crosby? No. So I had no problem with the no discipline on that. We'll see what happens with Crosby. If he can play, I'm sure he will. But Michael's right. No Crosby in a Game 6. Maybe you get a Game 7 and put a ton of pressure on the Penguins on Sunday.
Can you imagine, by the way, the level of pressure? If you can go out and steal this game, and again, the same thing I said in reverse. I talked about how scary things could be last night if the Penguins grabbed the lead, which they did, and the Rangers responded. But, Don, can you imagine how the Penguins will tighten up if the Rangers get a lead on Friday and the Penguins are now staring, having dropped 2 straight and heading back to the Garden, maybe without Sid Crosby? And by the way, I just want to say, as a Penguins fan, I have no problem with no discipline there. Like, it was a slightly rough hit, but it wasn't suspension worthy. It's a penalty.
But it was series turning because the Rangers didn't look like they had anything.
You're right.
Until Crosby went out. And then all of a sudden they lit up thanks to the kid line, and there were three goals in an eye blink and four goals right at the beginning, at the beginning of the third period. So everything changed, Don, when Crosby left the ice.
Well, it certainly did, because at 9:15 of the second period, it's 2-0 Penguins, and the Rangers just look listless and dead.
And the crowd was dead.
They look like a team that was just ready to bow out. Crosby leaves, and you see how important he still is to this team. Three unanswered goals, and it's 3-2. And I thought another turning point, Peter, I don't know if you felt the same way watching it. Gensel scores late in the second, and you figure, all right, all the momentum now belongs to Pittsburgh. The Rangers, who've been a great third-period team all year, have not been a great third-period team in this series, and that Pittsburgh was going to win the game. And the Rangers came out and outplayed the Penguins in the third. Rangers did what they did all year, better third-period team. They won that third and won the game. And I thought that was huge, because after that Gensel goal, I'm thinking they're in trouble. Three straight goals, and then Pittsburgh gets the last laugh, and they still come out the better team in the third period. That's very encouraging.
Now, I'm interested, too. This is the most important part. So Ed Cohen's doing game 6 and 7. Does he give you part of the money? Because that's your gig.
It's not like, do I give my part of the money to Kenny?
No. You're the backup. So
I don't know if
Ed is filling in for the backup.
The way it works in this business is you work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid.
Ed, now, step up. Come on.
Why should Ed step
those,
up?
Those antivirals are not cheap. They don't work, but they're not cheap.
I have insurance.
It doesn't make sense. Let me help you, Don. Don's losing his voice as we speak here. Michael, what you're saying is moronic. It makes no sense. Of course not. Okay? Let me just help. Donnie, I got you.
So should I have paid Dave an hour pay yesterday?
Yeah. Yes.
Should you be giving me money every time you go leave early for a Yankee game?
No, but that's part of the contract.
I don't think it's part of the contract.
Oh, it is?
Well, part of the contract is that I get sick days.
Uh-oh.
Part of the contract is sometimes I can't do things. My contract with MSG is when I work game, I get paid game. I don't work game, I don't get paid.
You know what? You think you can go straight to heaven because you're Gandhi. You just don't talk the truth, do you?
Mister, what does Michael always say, Peter? Honor the contract. I'm just honoring the contract. Now, if MSG wants to pay me, I'm not going to say no, but it shouldn't come out of Ed's pocket.
Will they win on set? Will they win tomorrow if Crosby doesn't play? I say yay. How about you guys?
I still don't know, Michael. I need to see more from their star players.
Cusick just gave me a maybe in my ear. How about you, Peter?
I think that's a good
answer. Wasn't paying attention. Kyrie Irving just went on IG Live, so I was curious to see what he's doing. So I just checked into that.
Well, then you don't get to answer then. How about that?
I think that should
be the punishment for any question not heard. You don't get a chance to answer.
I'm fine with that.
You have another smiley face T-shirt. This one's a blue one.
You've seen this one.
That wasn't even offered.
You've seen this one.
No. I've seen the white and the black. No, I've never seen the blue.
I don't have the black. You have the black. I have white and blue.
Well, they didn't even offer the blue with their usurious rates that they charged.
Well, I got mine a while ago. It may not be available anymore.
You serious?
Yeah, that's what I said when I paid the $44 for a T-shirt. You serious?
He's deadly serious. It's a great shirt, and it's the shirt that Michael really wishes he has, when he's walking around Chicago and it's 92 degrees.
That's a great point. You could wear this to the game tomorrow.
You know what? I should get one with a logo with a frowny face and sweat pouring off its forehead.
that could be your new brand.
That could be the new brand, yeah. By the way, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Mets are playing right now. Do we have a score, Don?
Mike, let me flip. I wanted to see how I looked on TV. I'm sorry.
How do you look?
3-0 Mets,
fabulous.
Bottom seven.
There you go.
And then the Yankees tonight in Chicago against the White Sox, beginning of a four-game set. And everybody that complains about the Yankees, them beating anybody, although they have.
I hope they lose.
They're playing a game against a team over 500.
Well,
the White Sox are 15-14. And that can be seen on Yes.
What I've always said about the Blue Jays, same that I say about the Twins and all these other Fugazi teams. You want to be, you got all these great sluggers and everybody thinks you're going to win the division going away. How do you play against the big boys? Can you go and beat the big bad Yankees, Blue Jays? Can you do it? All that hype, all that talk, you got to give me more than what they've given. So I give the Yankees all the credit in the world. They're the best team right now, definitely in the American League, if not all of Major League Baseball. Blue Jays got to show me something, Michael. Everybody had them winning going away. What's going on?
Well, our coverage starts at 7:30 tonight. Game time is at 8
right.
on TV.
Yeah, tune
Sox in. Sox are another team. Everybody love the White Sox. Yum, yum, give me some. What are they doing? Nothing.
Not good, especially not against Central Division teams.
Not good.
No. Anyway, that's game time brought to you by Telemardew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Telemardew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please, please, please enjoy it responsibly. Okay. Listening today, because I took an early flight today, and it's time to go around the bases, brought to you by Nissan. So Dave and Rick. And Dave kind of brought this up when he was working the hour for you yesterday, Don. And I'm put in the unenviable position of agreeing with a madman. I'm in total lockstep with Rothenberg.
Uh-oh.
He said
and you
he
quote.
Would rather the Mets not make the World Series if they were going to lose to the Yankees, and he'd rather have an 81-81 season than a 102-win season and losing to the Yankees in the World Series. Now, I agree with him. I understand the sentiment. I think Yankee fans that lost to the Red Sox in 2004, they might understand it as well. And I will double down before we get Peter and Don's take. Well, maybe Don's. Peter's probably still watching Instagram, but
it's not nice.
Yeah, it wasn't irrelevant.
But the Yankees with 27 championships. If you told me, if some baseball god came down to me and said, Yankees going to win 111 games this year, coast through the playoffs, but they'll lose to the Mets in the World Series, I say, as Don would say, I'm good. Thanks. I'll pass. You don't need that. Now, I think the Yankees don't need it more than the Mets don't need it, if you know what I mean. I mean, the Mets have already lost to the Yankees in the World Series. If they lose again, they lose again. The Yankees, you don't want to lose to the Mets in the World Series. You don't want to have the Red Sox come back from 3-0 down in 2004. And back then, when we still had the show, we had the same very show, I said, be careful what you wish for. Bring on the Red Sox. We want to see them. I said, well, at some point they're going to win, and then you're going to be sorry you said bring on the Red Sox. So I would not want to make the playoffs if I knew I was going to lose to the Mets. Thoughts, well, hopes, dreams.
Well, there's a couple of things here. First of all, finishing 500, not making the playoffs. Like, what if you asked Dave today? When the team's the best team in the National League, you're going to finish 500, miss the playoffs, rather than have to lose to the Yankees. Well, you don't do these things in a vacuum, Michael. What happened to the Mets that they only finished 81-81? Is Buck the right manager? Is this team
right.
The right roster? So that would disturb me. But that said, where I do agree, if the Mets go to the World Series,
right,
and they clinch in an afternoon game, say, they beat the Cardinals, they go to the World Series. And the Yankees are taking on the Angels that night. As a Met fan, I'm rooting for the Angels to win. Not because I'm scared of the Yankees, but why do I want to share the spotlight? My team gets to go to the World Series, and now they go to the World Series and have to share the city. Share the media attention. Share the spotlight. Why would I want to do that? When I can have the Angels and feel like the attention's on my team. That's why I wouldn't want to play the Yankees. I don't go to the World Series every year. I certainly don't go to the World Series as often as the Yankees do, although recently they have, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that take some of the luster away from going for a championship, knowing you finally get to the ultimate destination and you got to share the city?
I think they got a lot of spotlight in 2000. I don't think they shared anything.
Well, of course they shared it because half the city, if not more, was rooting for the Yankees.
Well, but okay, so if the Mets make it alone against the Angels, the Yankee fans aren't going to be rooting for the Mets. Half the city will be rooting for the Mets.
No, but I understand that. But coverage is going to be represented for both teams. So part of the cool thing about making a run to a championship is that the attention's on you. The attention's going to be on half of you because they also have to share the coverage with the other team. Now, how great would it be to finally beat the Yankees? It would be amazing. But you're not guaranteed to do that. So wouldn't it just be better to take on the Angels and win a championship? You're still going to be going back at the Yankees anyway by saying, hey, we went to the World Series, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We won the championship, you didn't. So beating them mano a mano would be great. But the process, it would, I think, take some of the fun of the World Series, knowing that you're sharing the back pages, you're sharing all the conversation.
So you're taking a completely different tack than Dave. It's not that you're afraid of losing to the Yankees. You just don't want to share the back page with the Yankees.
Because I think that's part of the experience. You know, whenever when the Giants are going to the Super Bowl, it's kind of cool that all the coverage in the paper, all the sports radio stations are talking about your team. Yeah, they're breaking down the opposition, but in a Giant sense. Or if the Rangers go to the Stanley Cup final, it's all about the Rangers and the way that not the city getting into it, because that never happens. Like, I'm in Pittsburgh and everybody's wearing Penguins jerseys. That doesn't happen in New York. It's just too big. It's too cosmopolitan. But, you know, from a sports sense, the attention will be on you. And that's fun. And now you're going up against the Yankees and you're going to have to share that attention. And for me, anyway, I'm just speaking for Don LaGreca, that would take some of the fun out of it.
Well, I'll adjust this. If the Mets play the Yankees in the World Series and lose, okay, so what? You're right where you were because you've lost to them already. So if I'm Dave, I disagree with Dave on that aspect. I disagree with Don, too. I think both teams would get the requisite attention. But on the Yankee side, I wonder how many fans agree with me. If I'm going to face the Mets, and I know I'm going to lose. Now, obviously, this is a game we're playing. You don't go into anything knowing you're going to lose. But if you know the future and you know you're going to lose to the Mets, I don't want to be in the World Series. I'd rather lose in the Division Series or the wild card round than lose to the Mets.
See, but I still want to go to the World Series.
But not the Yankees. The Yankees have been to the World Series 40 times.
I know. I'm just talking about from a Met perspective.
Right.
But, you know, there's value to the Yankees going to the World Series. They haven't been there since 2009.
Yeah, that's
they would
not
end
nothing.
The longest run in franchise history of not going to the World Series. So I remember, Peter, you'll appreciate this, being a really big football guy. The Giants beat the Vikings in the championship game. I was there. I got to go on the field. It was really cool. One of the best experiences of my sports fan life. I actually took some of the dirt and grass from the field, put it in a sandwich bag and kept it until my mom found it years later thinking it was marijuana.
Oh,
very
no.
Story.
That's unfortunate.
Oh.
And she threw
you know
it
what?
Away.
She knows her son.
I was like, but mom, what? Not that she has intimate knowledge of marijuana, but why would there be confetti in my marijuana?
She thought that was the good stuff. That's
yeah,
the good
I don't know.
That's
the good. I paid good money for
that's
it.
That's that good, right.
So then they go in to get blasted by the Ravens. And I hear people go, well, geez, if my team got killed in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't even want them to go. And I'm like, no. Went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was embarrassing to lose to the Ravens the way they did, but I got to see them win a championship game. They won their conference. They went to a Super Bowl. I'm not trading that. So if the Mets went to the World Series and the run leading up to the World Series, even if they got swept by the Yankees, I would still rather that than lose in the league championship series and not go to the series.
Now, Don, I'm going to make an offer because you're sick. I've got a couple of bags of Yankee Stadium infield dirt from the old stadium. I'll give you some.
Well, that's nice.
What does that do for me?
Well, you got some souvenir dirt.
So you think that me grabbing the confetti and the painted grass, because that's what it was at the time,
right?
And dirt was more of an appreciation of soil than it was for what the Giants accomplished on that soil.
You're a soil guy, he's saying. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you out with a collectible. I'm good.
Why would
give
there be confetti in my marijuana?
Do you want it or not?
No.
Well, you're a jerk then.
Really?
Yeah.
I would like some
Yankee
Stadium
dirt.
You want some Petey? You got
it. I'd like some Yankee Stadium dirt.
I will give you some Yankee Stadium dirt if you get me the blue smiley face T-shirt.
No, that's not worthwhile.
Well, then forget it. I'm giving you dirt that you could sell for way more than $44.
I don't think that's true. I think you could sell it for nothing.
Oh, really? If you get it analyzed and say, oh, yeah, this is stadium dirt from the old place, you could sell it for more than $44.
Who's buying? I mean, people will buy dirt.
But
believe me, there are people that will buy anything.
Peter, why don't these people want to – don't they want me to wear these happy face shirts?
I don't think they care.
Okay, good. Well, I don't care then either. That's today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com. It's a mess here in Chicago. Forget about the weather, right? So I packed the computer that I can answer the phones on, and I forgot the power cord. There's no connection for me. I can't even see the calls right now. I just know what time it is. It's
nice.
It's awful. And then Don's going to bow out after this segment. I don't even know what we're going to do.
I think I should, guys. I mean, I want.
Yeah,
there's
think
so
it's...
much to talk about, but I could really feel I'm straining my voice.
No, I listen. Well, I didn't think you should have come on at all. So you put in the effort and.
Well, listen, this
admirable.
Is planned. I mean, I got ready today thinking I'd do the whole show. But leading in, I said, let me just do a segment, say hello to everybody.
How quickly did you know? It sounds like within about 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, once I started like trying to talk for a length of time, it's just not.
Isn't it interesting that you can tell your voice is bad, but until you start projecting for radio, you can't tell quite how bad.
Do you do this, guys, because you're announcers like I am?
Really?
That when you are sick, like in the shower, you'll test the voice by like saying something
yes.
you would say on the air to see
no,
how it
No, I
sounded.
Always say hello.
Hello.
I'm just picturing Michael in the shower, just going, hello.
Water cascading.
Well, I was
hello.
Yeah. Right. Hello.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
So what's up, homies?
Well, Don, with your situation right now and you bowing out after this segment, I've got three letters that come up. S-M-N. S-M-N. Showing me nothing.
All right, listen. Say what you
wow.
want.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it.
Wow, you're disappointed?
Yeah. If you're going to start something, you finish it. That's just what I'm saying.
Wow.
Listen, if his opinion meant anything to me, Peter, it would bother me.
Right.
But.
It means nothing to you.
I know he's only kidding. He better be anyway.
You certainly.
Because he knows how important a voice is, and there's a lot of shows coming up.
Do you want Dr. Zeitel's number?
Dr. who?
The guy who fixed my voice.
I'm assuming his first name is Steve.
Steven, yes, it is. Steven Zeitel. Every doctor I've ever had is named Steve.
It's amazing, Peter. It really is amazing.
It's truly insane. I've heard it before already. It's like...
They all went to Steve University.
It's crazy.
Well, Steve, Don, there's a Stevens, you know.
Please try to feel better, but I will not have a doctor with a PH. It's all got a V. They're all Vs.
Oh, really? You're sickened by the
well,
PH.
I was like, but you want the PhD, though.
Do I want what?
You definitely want the PhD.
The PhD, not the PH.
Okay. Right, you want the D. He definitely wants the D.
Yeah.
Who so doesn't Stephen want a. Smith is your doctor. right? So Stephen A. Smith's your doctor. There's the PH. You'd be a problem.
Please try to be better by tomorrow, or you know, maybe give us 10 minutes tomorrow.
Hey,
you know?
We'll see.
Listen, it's a 6:30 tomorrow, right? So you've got to give us
3.5 hours. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, tune in tomorrow to find out.
Get better,
Don. You know what would really stink, though, Don? Yeah. If you felt great tomorrow and you could do the game and there's Ed Cohen sitting in your perch.
Well, there is the quarantine aspect.
Is that
do
still
care
that's
about
still,
other people.
Right.
Which not everybody can say that.
I care about people. I didn't leave my house. I willingly stayed home.
But do you think other people do that?
No, people are terrible. I read a story today that a woman was having a birthday party for her child. Like, a child's like 8 years old, right? And she got COVID. So one of the moms whose kid was going to go said, I'm really sorry about the party. She said, no, we're still having the party. It's up to you if you want to let your kid come. Now, any mother or father who allowed their kid to go to a party where the mother has COVID, well, that's a child services call.
Well, and also, if all the parents are of like mind and not insane, nobody shows up to the party. Is that any
right.
good for the 8-year-old kid? Because that, to me, is like a nightmare, that I throw a party for my kids and nobody comes.
Mm. Not what you want.
Not
Don,
you
go
want.
Gargle. Have some Manuka honey.
I love you all.
We'll check in with you. Love you.
We love you, Donnie. Get better.
He's done it. You know, he's done it. He got it twice, Peter. He's in a select group of people.
We should really tell everyone the behind the scenes, too, that you and I both thought he was insane. I even reached out to Ryan and said, you got to stop this guy. He should not be on the air today.
I said, I texted you. I said, I think Don's out of his mind.
Yeah, because it's risk versus reward. Getting him for today, okay, that's great, but you feel like if he rests today and really takes care of himself, he'll probably be just fine. But you don't want to hurt yourself trying to come back, rush back for what?
Now you know me, Peter.
Sure.
That line showed up on the rapid test. I shut it down.
Oh yeah, I see immediately.
Yeah,
I questioned if you were even sick.
You also questioned whether I had vocal surgery.
Correct.
You think I had these schemes just to take off.
I'm not saying I know that to be true, but it's crossed my mind.
1-800-919-3776. There's a lot there. At 4 o'clock, we'll talk to Aaron Boone here in Chicago.
Right.
The Yankees, by the way, have won, 11, 4.
Carry the 3.
3, carry the 3.
Yay!
They have won 15 of their last 17.
Holy crap.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
And we will start with Dave and Comac. Dave.
Oh, first update. Tanner with a home run, and the Metsies are up 4-0 right now in the top of the ninth.
Beautiful.
Aside, yes, yes, yes. But aside from that, it was awesome to have Don LaGreca, the new Barry White of ESPN Radio. Man, he sounded like Barry White today. Aside from that, my question for you guys, I have two quick things. With Cano potentially being picked up by San Diego, as the rumors say, if for some reason, I hope it doesn't happen for his health, but he gets busted for PEDs again, I believe it's a lifetime ban, would the Mets be off the hook for the money they owe him?
Totally.
That's my
off
first
the hook.
Question.
Totally off the hook. They would not have to pay him a dime. His whole contract would be voided.
All righty. So I guess it's a little bit of plus and a little bit of minus for his own health.
Right.
My other question is for Michael. Michael, I miss you out here on Long Island for the holiday party each year. I'm glad it's in Jersey, but we really miss you out here. What happened to Billy Joel closing out the show? That has not happened. We have not had our hellos and goodbyes. I mean, at least give us a... Give us something to close out the show that's you.
He says see ya, if not the Billy Joel or
yeah,
both.
Sometimes we're up against the clock and we have a hard out, it's called, in the business. I love talking business like that. And so I'll just say, I always say see ya, pretty much. But I do go to Billy Joel. And you know what? It's Peter that ruins it all for you. For every one of you that likes the Billy Joel, because he kind of mocks me and doesn't like it, thinks it's not hip. So that kind of makes me shy away from it every now and then, because to me, Peter is the arbiter of cool.
Thank you. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. And Piano Man.
Jerk. Let's go to Nick on Long Island. Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So like that caller, I just got two quick points. One being, this morning I called Dave and Rick, and I just said like a quick thing about the Yankees and Mets playing in the World Series, and the next thing I know, the next hour of the show, they were talking about the Yankees and the Mets. And then I just get in my car after work, and you guys are talking about the Yankees and the Mets
Look
playing
at this.
The World
so
Series.
So you're programming the station, Nick.
I know. It's unbelievable. But
yeah, I love it.
Another quick point, though, real quick. I've been listening to the show forever, and when you guys go to Alex Lee for the traffic, Brandy Scott, I'm sorry.
Alex Lee has moved on to greener pastures.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, well, either way. The person that's doing the traffic always used to respond to you guys saying, like, oh, well, thank you, Michael, thank you, Peter, or whatever. And now, the past, like, year or so, I guess, they don't respond to you guys. And then now you guys are doing these crazy story things before you go to traffic. And I just wanted to get a backstory on it, if you guys could, if that's okay.
Of course.
Curious to hear where
they
you go
They always
here.
Say thank you.
They
always do. I mean, we're telling truths here, so... They really have nothing to say when we tell all of, you know, Brandy Scott's stories. You know,
I mean, she has lived an incredible life when you think about all the different things we've said that she's done
and
accomplished.
And we think it's about time that people know, right?
Right, because we don't want you to think of Brandy Scott as just traffic. We need you to know that she has won a Nobel Peace Prize before.
Right, and she was the seventh friend that got cut right before the pilot.
She was almost on Friends.
Yeah.
Moments, yeah, just moments. So we're just trying to give you guys that info.
Yeah, she's also a Dunkin' franchisee.
Yeah, I did not remember that. A Dunkin',
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Gary in Huntington. Gary?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Don, I know you're not there, but feel better. Mike, I got to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
What would your good buddies, David Cone and Paul O'Neill, say to what you're saying about not wanting to go to the World Series if you knew you'd lose to the Mets?
Well, they're players, so they're not going to think like a fan. I'm thinking like a fan, and I'm telling you what. The Yankees always had the last laugh, Gary, on the Red Sox. Always. And they blew a 3-0 lead, and now they'll never have the last laugh. Because even if they won the next five World Series, Red Sox fans will always say, you know what, we beat you, and we came back from 3-0. You just don't want that in your backyard.
Yeah, but Mike, you're a competitive guy, right? You're a very competitive guy. You wouldn't be where you were if you weren't competitive. If you were going up against your old nemesis in your industry, Mike Francesa, and you thought you would lose,
New York,
you're tell me that you weren't, you wouldn't, you would opt out of that competition.
Well, you're saying if I thought I would lose, but the game that we're playing here, Gary, is that I'm saying that the baseball gods told you you are losing. So if the radio gods told me you are losing to Francesa, I would still do the show because obviously you could still do well if you don't beat the other station. But, you know, that would drive me to try to beat them. But if I know for a fact, if I'm the Yankees with 27 championships and all of the bragging rights in the city forever, that I'm going to lose to the Mets in the World Series, I'm going to say I'm okay. I'll pass.
See, the reason I don't like the take, Michael, is I look at it almost the opposite. Like if you're the Mets, you wouldn't want it because it would make you so sick.
But you've already suffered it. That's why the Mets, I don't know why Dave wouldn't want to, like, go to the World Series. Even if you lose to the Yankees, you've already lost to the Yankees.
Well, but it hurt, and you don't want to feel it again. I would say on the Yankees side, who cares? So what? You lose to the Mets once. That really changes everything?
No, that's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Just once, even though you've still been better for all this time?
Yes.
Wow.
You have a Yankee... A former Yankee manager, you've got an owner that has more money than every owner in sports except for Steve Ballmer. You don't need them to be getting a foothold over you. You just don't.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, you have the Yankee lineup?
No, we're waiting on it.
Oh, we're still waiting on it. We have a terrific tweet here from Brody, who says, "Listen to Boone hang up the phone. The man is on a landline. That's called respecting the show." What a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. Here's the White Sox starting lineup, Peter. It's brought to you by Nissan.
Really? We have a sponsor
right
for the White Sox.
Oh. Tim Anderson at shortstop will lead off. Batting second, third baseman Yon Moncada. Jose Abreu at first will bat third. Cleaning up, the center fielder Luis Robert. Yasmani Grandal will catch, will bat fifth. Batting sixth and DHing Gavin Sheets. A.J. Pollock in left field will bat seventh. Batting eighth, playing right field, Adam Engel. And Leury Garcia is going to play second base and bat ninth. And the starter is Dylan Cease and desist. That's today's White Sox starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. I have a little bit of a complaint with the airport today.
Please, go ahead.
All right, so I've paid the extra money for TSA pre-check, and I've gone through all the security checks and everything. But I think... everybody has done it now.
Yeah.
So the TSA pre-check line is just as long as the line that's not TSA pre-check. So are they going to have now a premium pre-check line?
I recently was on pre-check and jumped into the regular line because pre-check was definitively worse.
What's the deal? What's going on?
I don't know. You got to do clear. I've never done clear. Maybe we should do clear.
Listen, if for somebody who travels a lot, right, if they said to you it's going to cost you X amount of thousands of dollars you would pay it. So if you're looking like make money for the Port Authority, do that.
Clear is 179 for 12 months.
But it's not that's not used for every airport.
So what Clear
airport? I think it's just Delta. I think it's just one airline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, Clear is not every airline, I don't think.
Are you sure about that? I think
I was on American today. There was no line for Clear.
Really? No. Oh, it tells you the terminals. Okay. So, for example, they have I just saw the terminals at the Boston airport at Logan.
You dig?
And then at JFK, it's Terminal 2 and Terminal 4. So you're right. Not everything. So you pay that money, and then it's only if you happen to be there. This is stupid. Can we get this together, people? This should not be
clear, people.
This should not be hard, by the way. Like, it really should not be that difficult to have this stuff handled in advance, and when you get to the airport, they know that you're not a psycho, and all it takes is a second. It really isn't that hard.
Also, when you pay for Clear, though, from what I hear, also helps with acne. So they get you through quicker. Yeah. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Not in a good mood today, boys. Very upsetting. Well, first of all, you barely survived a horrific toe injury earlier in the week.
Not toe, middle of the foot. Middle of the foot.
And on behalf of the Westchester Police Department and volunteer fire departments, we're glad that your wife didn't feel a need to call 911 because we know earlier in this year you had a near-death experience with a Nerf football that required a 911 call.
Wasn't a Nerf football, smart guy. It was a hard plastic football. Almost took my eye out. But thank you, Danny.
But anyway, and then we got Don this week, and didn't sound good, and I'm very, very worried about him. And didn't sound well. I listened to the game Monday night. Because I was working, and his guy doing a radio broadcast sounded like Don does today as he was doing the broadcast. So talking about coming to work when you should. I mean, the guy could barely talk. So,
that's who Don caught it from. I'm telling you, Don wouldn't say it, but that's who Don caught it from.
Absolutely. You know, listen, I don't have any problem with this home run. The distance is the distance for both teams. What I have a problem with is that why does Yankee Stadium have the same home run distance as my son's junior varsity baseball team? 300 feet down the line is an antiquated concept with 240-pound baseball players. And I love all the nooks and crannies of ballparks. I would never call for uniform dimensions because everybody's ballpark is gripped. It has the right to have their own thing. But there should be a minimum. I always felt that 330 down the line is a legitimate home run.
First of all, it's 314 to right. And in the old stadium, it used to be 296.
296. 314 is the minimum distance of a high school baseball field in New York, 300 feet. That's the minimum distance allowed for a high school baseball field. So how could a Major League Baseball home run be equal to what a 17-year-old kid is? It's ridiculous.
What I don't get, though, Danny. Why do they hold Yankee Stadium to this standard? The pesky pole is probably 80 feet away. And the Green Monster...
Well, they didn't redo the pesky pole. They redid Yankee Stadium, and they kept the antiquated Ebbets Field. These small ballparks used to have those short balls. You know, obviously, daytime baseball with a baseball that was like a sandbag. It was actually harder to hit the home run back then. But when the Yankees redid the stadium, they felt the need to have the old famous right field porch.
Well, they did, but we thank you for the phone call. Again, the old Yankee Stadium was 296. They added 18 feet. So it's not the same as the old Yankee Stadium. And they moved in left center field, and they moved in center. Although center, I think, the last redo of the old Yankee Stadium, I believe it was 408. But, when I grew up, it was 461. And 457, the left center field, was really dead Death Valley. They want more offense in the game. So I don't think it's unfair at all. I'm sorry. Other ballparks are... did anybody ever say anything about the Crawford boxes in Houston? Oh, it's unfair. No one even mentions the Green Monster. Unfair. Nobody says that. I would never say it. A ballpark is a ballpark. Everybody has a chance to aim at it. The cathedral.
It's so true, by the way. People love the Green Monster. It's the charm of the stadium.
Right. Nobody says a word. And again, if you do the metrics, Yankee Stadium is closer to a pitcher's park than a hitter's park. That's from David Cone, who knows analytics better than anybody that's not in an analytic front office. And he's not looking to defend Yankee Stadium. He looked into it because everybody talks about, this is such a bandbox. It's not a bandbox. You can hit a home run in one spot that seems easier than in other places, and that's the short porch.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We had Don LaGreca, who bravely battled really a terrible voice today. Sounded like a bad Barry White. And we're not making light of it, but Don, as luck would have it, or lack of luck would have it, has gotten COVID for the second time. So he says he feels fine, but he doesn't sound very good. So he just wanted to pop on and talk a little bit about the Rangers and their victory at the Garden last night. So there is a game six. It'll be tomorrow. We have the pregame show at 6:30, and the puck drops at 7. And the Rangers have a shot. I mean, obviously, if it's 3-2, you got a shot, and you got a bigger shot if Sidney Crosby's out. Nobody's rooting for that. Sidney Crosby's one of the great players of all time. You want to see him play. But if you want the Rangers to win, the way you're rooting is that Sidney Crosby is not able to play tomorrow. I know that sounds harsh, but that's just the way it is. And Crosby went down from an elbow from Jacob Trouba, and the NHL is not going to discipline Trouba at all. And Trouba spoke today about the hit. Here's Jacob Trouba.
Kind of tried going stick on puck when he was going to shoot. My stick kind of went in between his legs and kind of hit his thigh, and I kind of pushed my arm up. And it's kind of a fluky play. It wasn't really a massively hard contact. Unfortunately, obviously, don't want to ever see a guy get hurt. And I don't know exactly what the injury is, but hopefully he's better soon.
Well, I got to tell you what, Peter, once he was gone, they were a different team. The Rangers were down 2-0. They looked lost. The crowd was dead. And then once he went down, it all happened. And if he doesn't play in game six, although they had two awful games in Pittsburgh, they could steal that one and bring it back to the Garden. Then it's anybody's game.
I agree with you 100%. And remember, Michael, what did I say yesterday? When you asked me about what I thought would happen last night.
Yeah, you said they have a chance. Anything could happen. You really went out on a limb.
No, that's not what I said at all. Don't try to minimize. I said, frankly, I know it could sound like I'm being this guy as a Penguins fan, but I thought the Rangers would win yesterday, and I thought that this series was far from over. And then you look at what happened, and first of all, just to be clear, I take no issue with the Trouba hit. I mean, to me, it wasn't even something that should be considered for suspension or anything like that. It just wasn't that deep. But I said put shots on Domingue, and they didn't put a ton of shots on him. But he kind of wilted, didn't he? But in the end, he still kind of wilted, which is what's going to happen because, God bless him, he's not Tristan Jarry.
No, he's
a journeyman.
Louis Domingue.
He is Louis Domingue. He is a journeyman. So, you know, I think it was a great performance by the Rangers. Really impressive, by the way, too. The way they hung tough and came out in the third period. They had multiple times when they sort of could have hung their heads. They didn't after being down 2-0 in the second period. They turned it on. I give them credit. I give the fans credit. Let's get it on in game six.
Now, Don told us this earlier. He was supposed to do tomorrow's game. And if there was a game seven, he was supposed to do that. But because of COVID, he can't. And he has to quarantine for 5 days anyway, so that would take you through game seven. So Ed Cohen, who does the Knicks play-by-play for us on 98.7, is going to fill in. And, you know, I was talking with Anthony during the break, Peter. So the game four, you could hear that Dave Maloney was sick.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And, you know, Dave decided to come to work. And I'm sure that that's where Don got it. But Don is such a gem of a man. I mean, they don't make it like Don anymore.
No.
So Anthony actually said, can you imagine, Michael, if you were due to call the sixth and seventh games of the American League Championship Series and somebody got you sick, how you would react?
Oh.
It wouldn't be pretty.
No.
I would hunt down that person.
Wow. And murder?
No, but I'd make them know how angry I am.
Okay. Well, but we already know this. Don is a much better person than you.
He plays one on radio. Is he really? Is he really?
He's pretty. He's.
I do well.
He's pretty amazing. He's a great.
He Let's go
amazing.
With Don.
Let's see what we have here.
Score!
You think Don's watching right now?
No. I just got a weird... I'm confused. I guess I missed this.
What?
I just got an email.
From?
From Fight TV.
Huh?
Floyd Mayweather is back in the ring on May 14th on Fight TV.
May 14th. That's a couple of days.
On TV.
I did not know this was happening. Against Don Dangerous Moore.
Wow.
Oh, and Anderson Silva is having a boxing match on the same card. Oh, jeez. God, Floyd must bet a lot, man. He must really bet a lot.
Maybe he likes to fight, too. The Penguins just released this, Peter.
Go ahead.
They have recalled forward Radim Zahorna from their AHL team, I guess. He's 26, playing 17 games with Pittsburgh this year, recording 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points, and a plus-minus 12. A plus 12. I'm sorry, there was a hyphen in there. So usually when they call somebody up, Peter, somebody is out. And I think that somebody is Sidney Crosby.
And how long would that mean, you think, if that's the case?
Well, he has a history of concussions.
I know.
So I don't think you're going to see him play in this series.
Well, no. If it is confirmed that, it wouldn't
and
be
And it's not, by the way. It's
and
not.
It's not. But if it turns out to be a concussion, yes, we're definitely not seeing him this weekend. And then if the Penguins advance, the problem with Sid's concussions is they can totally vary. You never know with concussions. You could be back in 3 days. It could be 3 months. You just have no idea.
Really unfortunate, because I'll tell you what, you were watching every second of the series. He was playing great.
Oh, yeah. Sid is the kid. Know people hate him. I know he can make it easy sometimes. He can be slightly dirty. He can be a flopper, a crybaby, all those things that sort of prima donna scorers are in this league sometimes. But I'm sorry, man. He's one of the best to ever do it.
Isn't it ironic that Sid the Kid lost to a team where the Kid line did what it had to do?
That's
true. The best thing for the Rangers. Even if they lose the series, those kids have gotten a valuable experience. And some of the veterans who haven't shown up better wake up. Better wake up.
Sid the Kid, not a kid anymore, 34 years old.
No, he's not. But those kids are. So tomorrow is game 6. Win or go home for the Rangers again in, I don't know, Benjamin Moore, some PPG paint, whatever. Some kind of arena named after paint. And we'll have the coverage starting at 6:30, 7 o'clock, the puck drops. And then if there's a game 7, right here. Right here. By the way, I'm at a ballpark right now, Peter, that I'd say is one of the most unfortunately named ballparks of all time. It might be the worst arena ballpark name of all time.
Is it Guaranteed Safety Field?
Guaranteed Rate Field, with an arrow guaranteed that rate goes down in the logo. There had to be a second choice that was maybe $1 million less than what they offered. Why would you take it's an awful name. I mean, across town you have Wrigley Field. Here, Guaranteed Rate Field. It's an abomination wrapped in a riddle.
Wrigley is the gum.
Wrigley, the man who owned the Cubs and built the stadium, was Phil Wrigley, who owned Wrigley Spearmint Gum.
Hell of a gum, by the way.
Good gum. Underrated gum. I've always said that. Especially Juicy Fruit.
Yeah,
that's
they
a
did
Wrigley
a great,
product.
They did a great job with... They did a great job with the Juicy Fruit. It wasn't my cup of tea.
You
honestly
don't like Juicy Fruit?
No. If I'm gonna have fruity gum, I want Bubblicious.
That's not really fruity.
Bubblicious is there are different flavors of Bubblicious.
Just go with Juicy Fruit.
But Juicy Fruit doesn't have enough chew for me.
Doesn't have enough chew for you.
Yeah, I love Big League Chew. Big fan.
Charlie likes that too. He's a player.
Do you let him do that?
Yeah, it's gum.
I know, but you're emulating tobacco.
He knows what's right and what's not right. So tobacco, okay, not right.
Do you remember how... Do kids still have a... I'm guessing this is... there's a very obvious answer. Do kids still have candy cigarettes?
Yeah, they do.
No.
Charlie fires them up all the time. No, they're still candy cigarettes.
They are really still around?
Yeah.
It seems like something that would have totally been banned in this era.
They still have toy guns, Peter.
You know what, Michael? It's one of the best points you've ever made.
Time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So Buck Showalter, after the 4-1 victory over the Nationals, talked about Mark Canha, who's done such a great job for them. Here's the manager of the Mets.
So he could be rested to hit a home run today. No, it's not only serving his needs, but, you know, smart aleck answer, but I was thinking about that earlier. I said, maybe he'll hit a home run today now. No, it kind of serves everybody's needs on the club. You know, I've talked to Mark about it. You know, the other day I said, you realize how good an outfielder I think you are. It's just creating ways for Travis to be involved, for Smitty to be involved, for Tomas and Mac and Guillerme, and move them around and keep everybody involved. But no, and like I told him, there'll come a time in August and September, you know, maybe July, where we won't have that luxury.
And he had rested Canha 3 of the last 6 days, so he joked about, you know, that's why I hit the home run. So they win again. They have not lost a series all year. They split one. So they've won every other series, and that's why they're sitting atop the National League East. And the Yankees have lost just one series, and that was to the Orioles, strangely enough, and they split one, the 4-game set against the Blue Jays, and they've won every series other than that, and they have the best record in baseball right now. So it's a good time to be a baseball fan in New York. It's a good time to be a baseball fan in New York and L.A.
That's right.
The Dodgers, the Angels, all the Angels in L.A. are like, you know, the Scarsdale Cardinals being in New York City. I mean, Angels do not play in L.A. They play in Anaheim. The fact that they're called the L.A. Angels is an outrage. I don't like it. I don't approve of it. And that's one of the reasons I don't go out to the West Coast.
It's so dumb, though. It really is. The L.A. Angels of Anaheim.
It's a mouthful.
And Anaheim is not, like, as close to L.A. as, like, MetLife Stadium is to New York.
Right.
It's an actual different market.
It's where Disneyland is.
That's right.
Well, those are Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. All right, let's go to Nick in Westchester. Nick.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Michael, the good wish of the Northeast. We thank you for all your predictions. I think you're right. And, of course, a thank you to Peter. Always acknowledge your tribal chief. I'm calling you, Michael, because I get in my car after a hard day of work, and I can't believe that people are still complaining about Yankee Stadium's dimensions in 2020. How do you keep your head like, not jumping off of your shoulders? Excuse me, 2022, excuse me. I mean, it's crazy. How are people still talking about this? No one complains about Boston. No one complains about Detroit, Minnesota, Houston. Why? Just because the Texas Rangers are only 500 that they're complaining about it? Who cares what they think? I can't believe I get in the car and a guy calling the radio saying, oh, my son's JV Little League team, the same dimension. You know it's not. That's a ridiculous statement. Anyone can go in that stadium and hit home run. They're just mad that the Yankees hit more home runs than them. And that's, you know, that's the name of the game, Michael.
And it's also interesting, Nick, and we thank you for the call. I could see if the Yankees had Punch and Judy hitters that were hitting home runs. I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue that Judge and Stanton could hit a home run anywhere. Anywhere. So Stanton had a home run that would have been a home run only at Yankee Stadium the other day. The 3-run home run. But the other day, he had a 430-foot shot. I mean, stop. Everybody can aim for that spot if they want. Every team could go for it. But you know what the problem is? The Yankee pitching this year is so good, no one's hitting home runs against them. Sorry. It is a little antiquated to talk about it. And I understand what Danny was saying. The old days, short distances were because ballparks were shoehorned into city blocks. That's why Fenway is the way it was. That's why Ebbets Field was the way it was. That's why the Polo Grounds were the way they were. And now it's done just for, you know, aesthetics. And they wanted this Yankee Stadium to somewhat mirror the other Yankee Stadium, which was built so that Babe Ruth would have the short porch to aim for, as if Babe Ruth needed a short porch.
How short was it in the original Yankee Stadium?
I think it was 296 down the line.
Okay, and real quick, what's the longest in Major League Baseball? What's the deepest park down the line?
Down the line, I can't tell you for certain, but I think like in Colorado it's 345 because of the thin air.
So, okay, right.
Yeah. So they try. That's why you get more doubles in Colorado, because the outfielders have to play so deep because they don't want the ball over their head.
But how many are like 305?
Well, the pesky poll might be less than that. I think Fenway Park right down the line is 300-something. You know, the Green Monster right down the line. So, yeah, there's a lot of ballparks that are very, very short. How many people hit balls right down the line? It doesn't happen very often. Let's go to Chris in Rockland. He's also upset about these discussions about Yankee Stadium.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Chris?
I mean, you guys kind of just stole my thunder. I was about to say the same thing. But, yeah, I mean, these people sound ridiculous, especially that clown who coaches the last-place Rangers. Both teams have the same ballpark. If your team can't hit it out of a little league stadium, then that's on you. You're both playing in the same park. The Yankees aren't the only ones with the short porch, so I don't know. Everyone just sounds like a clown. But speaking of the Rangers, Rangers in seven. Let's go. Don's the GOAT. Get better soon, Don. Take care, guys.
You got it. Thank you, Chris. He is the GOAT. People love Don.
Well, that's for sure.
Don's awesome. Not loved. The two of us are not loved like Don.
Wrigley Field, 353. Coors, 350. Angels, 350.
Angels are 350?
Tigers, 330. This is to right, yeah.
Angels are 350 down the line?
That's what it says.
Wow.
Oh, this is an SI article, yeah. The Reds, 325. The Nats, 335. Cleveland, 325. Twins, 328. Camden, 318.
What was 318?
Camden. 334, Chase Field, the Diamondbacks. The Rangers, 326. The Pirates, 322. The Phillies, 330.
Now, Yankees, Aaron Boone said something that was interesting. He said, we might have a short porch and right, but then you look at the Reds ballpark, it's small all around. There's places for pitchers to put the pitches that won't get hit out. Not many ballparks have as deep a left center field as the Yankees, and 408 is pretty deep for center field. I don't have to defend Yankee Stadium, believe me. I never thought that in 2022 I'd be defending the dimensions of a ballpark. It is what it is, and both teams get to aim for it. What City Field? Did you say that one?
Yeah, no. But by the way, it says Yankee Stadium's 318 to right.
I think it's 318 to left.
I'm looking at it left to right. It says City is 330 to right.
Well, let me see. I posted that. Yeah, I'm standing in front of the right field wall. It says 314 Yankee right. Stadium.
And this says 318, but
well, there were so that just delegitimizes the entire article.
I don't suppose it changed in the last year, did it?
No, it didn't.
This is a Sports Illustrated article from 2021.
It hasn't changed in a year.
The Giants, 309 to right.
And you know why they did
and
that?
Fenway, 302 to right and 310 to the Monster.
Let me tell you a Monster story, okay?
Okay.
So, we used to play the media game there. You know, the New York Riders against the Boston Riders. So you got a chance to be on the field at Fenway Park. Very
wow,
cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so there was somebody, because everybody has always been somewhat dubious about that's the distance to the left field foul line. So you know that third base is 90 feet from home plate. So he had size 12 feet. He started marching off the distance to the wall. Grounds crew member saw him and knocked him off the line. So take that as you will.
Wow.
Probably
really?
Shorter than that. Yeah.
Huh.
You're not going to do that here.
Wow.
I think it was Dave Gettleman who ran on the field. Yeah.
Bring back the old days.
I'm healthy as a horse.
Yeah.
You know my Fenway. You know my Fenway story.
No, what happened?
I got booed there as a child. Because I hit the beach ball. I hit the bleacher beach ball. Not on purpose. I accidentally tapped the bleacher beach ball, and it fell like in the in-between thing and disappeared.
Oh, no.
Got booed by the entire section.
How old were you?
I was like 8. I started weeping.
Have you brought this up to your therapist? Or
therapy? Now that I'm therapy, exactly. Now that I'm saying it, I realize maybe this is a deeper cut than I realized.
Oh, it's a huge cut.
And by the way, and plays right into food addiction problems as well, because what happened was after I started crying, some of the fans at Fenway started feeling bad, and they all started sending me ice cream.
And you ate all of it?
Yes. So really all of my problems.
How do you not bring this up to the therapy? I don't get it.
I'm going to talk
about this.
I'm
not even trained in this, and I knew that this is a touchstone moment.
Those are three iconic moments that happened at Fenway Park. Me getting booed by the fans in the bleachers. Don Zimmer getting tossed by Pedro. I was there for that as well. And I was there for Jeter's last game. Three historic moments in their own right.
Now, there was also, remember the Carlton Fisk home run in Game 6?
Yeah.
75 series?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Well, never before had any camera followed the guy up the first baseline. They just, you know.
You mean while he's waving it?
No, just as he's running toward first base. It wasn't a shot that people did. So there's a camera in the Green Monster. Now, the Green Monster's been there since 1912 when the place opened. And the cameraman, when Fisk hits the ball, looks down, and there is a gigantic rat at his feet. So he's stepping away, and as he's stepping away, the camera is moving as he's stepping away, and it's following Fisk, motioning with his hand to keep the ball fair.
Right.
So that rat is the reason that that iconic video exists.
Wait. The video, and I was worried I confused it, the Fisk waving the ball trying to keep it fair, one of the most famous baseball highlights of all time.
Was thanks to a rat.
Was because they were filming a rat.
No, they weren't filming a rat.
So wait, what was the purpose?
He was the left field cameraman in the wall, and he was following the batter. Now, his instructions were not to follow the batter after he swung toward first base. They had other cameras to do that. So once Fisk swings and hits the ball, and it goes up into the Boston Night, right down the line, the rat is at the guy's feet. He's trying to step away from the rat, and the camera keeps moving as he's stepping away, and
wow.
The camera, fortuitously enough, is moving along with Fisk, and that's why you have that iconic shot, because of the rat at the foot of the cameraman.
But when it aired in real time, the angle did not show that. It was the replay angle that they realized they had it, correct?
Oh, yeah. That camera was hooked to a tape machine, so they got it.
The
director didn't. I think it was Harry Coyle, who's in the Hall of Fame. He did not say, okay, stay on that. You know,
No.
Yeah.
The real shot is just you see the ball landing. It's right. You see the whole home run, right? And then now, of course, we know that shot is the famous one.
The rat shot.
The rat shot, if you will, yeah.
Yeah. It's the kind of stories you get here on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Football!
Yes,
football!
Now,
wait, wetting the palate is W-H-E-T.
That's what I said.
It's not wetting your actual palate?
No.
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't know about the rat either. I'm here to teach. So somebody got a hold of the Giants schedule. Now, we're kind of scooping ourselves because ESPN has a official announcement show today. This is the only league in the world that could have, like, make programming out of announcing their schedule. But here we go, Peter.
All right. Always are famous. You keeping track?
Well, we you want to keep track.
Yeah, don't you want to write down, I mean, both of us, so we have our numbers by the end.
Okay. Here we go. I'll keep track.
Here we go.
Week one at Tennessee.
The New York Giants will lose week one at the Tennessee Titans.
I agree. Week two against Carolina at home. I'll give them a win.
I'm going to give them a win.
Week three. Monday Night Football with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in the booth against the Dallas Cowboys in Jersey.
Listen, being reasonable, that's a loss.
And, I would agree.
It's not impossible, but right now you'd have to say loss.
Week 4 at home against the Bears. I'm giving them a win.
They could beat the Bears at home. Let's give them that. I'm feeling positive.
Week 5 in London against the Green Bay Packers. L.
Ballard. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Who knows? It's London, but I'd say a loss.
Week 6. You know what I like about the London game? 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So if they lose, it ruins Rothenberg's entire day.
Yeah, he's up early to have his day ruined. That's
right.
A great point.
And then he ignores his family the entire day.
Yep.
Week 6 at home against the Ravens. Loss.
Week 6 at home against the Ravens. I'm going to give them a win.
Short week, no bye after London. They chose not to have the bye.
Oh, that is the short week after the bye. I mean, that is the short week after the London game. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm switching my pick. It's Baltimore. Sorry.
Week 7 at Jacksonville. I'm going to give him a W.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a nice stretch here. This is a nice stretch potentially for the G-men.
Week 8 at Seattle. That's a win. They play well in Seattle, and Seattle doesn't have dangerous anymore.
I know, but like Seattle is still
Mr. Unlimited.
I know they're not the same as they were when they had Mr. Unlimited, but it's still a long trip across the country. I'm going to give it to the Seahawks.
Week 9, bye. I give them a win. Week 10 against the Houston Texans. That's a win. I got them 3 in a row.
Yeah, it's a win over the Texans, no doubt.
Week 11 at home against Detroit. That's a win.
I like them against Detroit. Why not?
Another great quirk of the scheduling. Week 12 to ruin Dave Rothenberg's Thanksgiving, the Giants at Dallas.
I mean, I think they're going to get swept by the Cowboys. I think Dave is going to be sitting there. That's the 4 o'clock game, I'm guessing.
4:25, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to ruin Dave's dinner. It's going to be beautiful. Cowboys win.
But you know what? We're rooting for his day to be ruined. But that means the two boys and the wife also will have their day ruined.
Well, sadly, unfortunately, Michael, it means kind of half of the tri-state's going to have their day ruined. But, yeah.
No, but not that many people take it quite
to the
as
level of Dave.
As Dave.
No.
Week 13 against
Let's stop. Before we get to the Commanders game, tell me where we're at record-wise, because now we're getting to December, right?
Yeah, well, I don't want the record to influence the way you keep picking them.
No, I know, but I want to think about whether or not they're going to have meaningful games. My guess would be right now they'd still be in the hunt. Let's just say that. They would still be in the hunt at week 13.
You have them at 5-6. I have them at 6-5.
Okay.
Week 13 versus the Washington Commies. I'm going to give them a win. Terrible team.
That's in New York?
Yeah. Well, not really. It's in Jersey.
I'll give them a win.
Week 14 against the Eagles in Jersey. Loss.
I'm going to give them a win.
Wow.
Week
15.
Yeah.
At that beautiful structure called FedEx Field.
Yeah.
Against the Washington Commies.
The Commies, I love my Commies, and they'll get that one back. They'll split. They'll get the game at home. Washington
wins. I give them a loss as well. Week 16, a Saturday affair at Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Loss.
Close, but loss.
Week 17 at home against the Indianapolis Colts and Matt Ryan. Loss.
I'm going to give them a win.
And week 18 at Philadelphia.
Loss.
I have them losing their last 5 games, so let's see. I have them at 7-9. No. 7-10.
Wow.
And you have them.
I think I have them better.
At 8-9.
8-9.
There you have it. You don't even have to watch the games.
Yeah, no. Don't even bother, because we just told you what it's going to be. Now, how disappointing would 8 and 9 be? Would that be a huge disappointment?
No.
Would an 8 and 9 season mean that Daniel Jones played pretty well and maybe you feel like you have a quarterback?
I mean, there's different ways to get to 8 and 9. I think that if this team gets to within one game of 500 with the salary cap issues they had and the lack of talent and a quarterback that has to prove itself and you release James Bradbury, I think it'd be a home run.
So what about 7 and 10?
Still not that awful.
God, how quickly the mighty fall. To think about the fact that right now Giants fans would feel good about a 7 and 10 season. And you're right, they probably would. What would you rather, though, be? Would you rather this team get to somehow scrap together a season where on week 18 they're playing to make the playoffs? Would you rather have them in that situation, but Jones isn't great? Or have a season in which Jones is really, really consistent, but they go 7 and 10, and you know they're not going to make the playoffs.
But what if they have the same record? And I thought you were going to ask me a tough question. Would you rather they go 7 and 10 or 8 and 9 and Jones is not bad? Or would you rather they go 2 and 15 and they get the quarterback from Alabama or Ohio State?
That's a fair question as well.
But I don't think – I mean, I wouldn't lose on purpose, but it, unlike Don, if they were like – if they were 2 and 12, I want them to lose the rest of their games. At that point, the season's shot, but I'm not rooting for a shot season so they can get the two best quarterbacks or one of the two best quarterbacks. That's not the way I would root.
What record do you think they have to get to before the Giants decide the Daniel Jones experiment is over?
I would say if they were 5 and 12 or 6 and 11, that would do it.
No. But I mean, like, during the season, for example, like if they're 1 and 7, do you know it's over? Basically,
no. Well, again, how did he play? Maybe the defense has gotten singed. Maybe he's been fine. So I don't know how he played.
Right. I just would assume if they are at 1 and 7, he's not fantastic. That would be my guess. And the truth is, doesn't he have to be fantastic this year?
See, that's the tough question. What if he's not bad?
I don't see – not bad is not a reason to re-sign him and give him a deal. I'm sorry. But not bad,
you don't have to empty the bank.
Yeah, but where are you going to get with that?
Maybe you see some progression and then you get him more weapons and then he's in Dable's system another year. Those are the things you have to look at.
Let's be realistic. The best not bad could ever get you is what Jimmy Garoppolo did, right?
But he was more than not bad.
But he was more than not bad. Slightly more than not bad. He was pretty good.
Right.
He's decent.
I'll take pretty good from Jones.
So if you got Jimmy G level from Jones, you would sign him?
Depending on where my draft pick is. If he had Jimmy G level and they still had a bad season and you have a chance to get one of those two quarterbacks, then he's gone. But if you don't have a chance to get one of those two quarterbacks, then I keep him because it's not easy to get quarterbacks.
Last year...
You know what? The 49ers are probably going to keep Jimmy G this year.
Last year, Jimmy G had 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and threw for 3,800 yards.
And very good looking.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. Yeah. I mean, but Daniel's not a bad-looking guy.
He's not Jimmy G, though, let's be honest.
Well, who is? And Daniel Jones last year...
I like
year
a lot of guys.
...had 2,400 yards, 10 touchdowns to 7 picks. So, yeah, Jimmy G was a full level up.
Now, he's remember, Daniel's hurt, too.
True.
And that's when they fell off a cliff, when he got hurt. He has to stay healthy and play decent. Now, it's a tough decision. All right, we'll take a brief time. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, so far, his best season availability-wise is 2020. He played 14 games.
Right. He needs to play more.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, that's our always famous, never boring win-loss-win-loss-loss-loss-win game. I want to tell you the NBA at the beginning of April unveiled the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Trophy for annual social justice. So there you have that.
Which makes
so,
perfect sense. That's a great fit.
Right. All right, so here's the Jets schedule. We did the game with the Giants earlier. I have them at 7-10. Peter, very bullish on the Giants at 8-9.
Optimistic.
Week one for the Jets against the Ravens.
The Ravens.
That's at home. Lost for me.
Home against the Ravens. I'm going to give the Jets a win. I don't like the Ravens this year. I've decided for no reason.
Interesting.
Well, not no reason.
At the Browns on week two, I'm going to give them a win.
No, I like the Browns. I think the Browns are going to be hot, hot, hot with Deshaun Watson starting out this season.
Yeah, he's not starting the season, though. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Sorry. That's a great point. What is he, week five?
Well, we don't know.
We'll find out, but he won't be there week two. So, you know what? I'm going to go back and make that a loss. I mean, a win for the Jets. Sorry.
Week three versus the Bengals at home. Loss.
Week three versus the Bengals at home.
Why are you repeating everything I say?
I'm thinking, Michael, and I'm going to go, that is a loss.
Week four at the Steelers. I'm giving them a win.
Loss.
Week five against the Dolphins at home. I'm giving them a win.
Loss.
Week six at Lambeau Field. I'm giving them a loss.
Loss.
Not playing the Packers. They're just going to Lambeau Field for a trip.
But they're still going to lose. That's the sad part.
October 23rd at the Broncos. Giving them a loss.
It's a loss. They're in trouble now. Now it's getting scary. They're 2-5.
Week 8 versus the Patriots at home. I'm giving them a win.
Bounce back. They're going to grab a win at home against the Pats this year.
Week 9 at home against the Bills. Loss.
That's a loss.
Week 10, a bye. Also a loss. Week 11, at the Patriots. I'm giving them a loss.
Loss.
Week 12 against the Bears. I'm giving them a win.
Why not? Give them a win.
Week 13, at the Vikings. I'm giving them a win.
You know what? They're getting into a groove here. I'll give them a win.
Week 14, the groove ends at the Bills. I'm giving them a loss.
Yeah, it's Bills time right there.
Week 14, or week 15, against the Lions. How about a win at home?
Sure, absolutely a win at home against the Lions.
Week 16 on Prime Video at the versus the Jaguars at home. I'm giving them a win.
Listen, you know what happens. When the Jets play the Jaguars on Prime Video, throw the record books out and get ready for a doozy. The Jets will win.
Week 17 at the Seahawks. I am giving them a win.
I'm giving them a loss.
Week 18 at the Dolphins. I'm giving them a win.
I'm going to give them a big Week 18 win as well.
Okay, let's count up mine first. I haven't had a good year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10-7 for the Caster.
Wow. Okay.
You had them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have them 9-8.
Not bad.
Not that different.
By the way, remember these, Anthony. Write these down. I'm going to nail both of these, both the Giants and the Jets.
Let's go to Daniel in New Jersey. Daniel.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Great. You?
Great, great. So I want to go back to the win-loss-loss-loss-win, the famous game you guys were playing for the New York Giants.
That's okay.
And I know you guys were talking about how that'd be nice if they could scrap together 7 or 8 wins. And I know, Michael, you had them at 7. Peter, I think you had them at 8. This team needs to be horrendous. They're in quarterback hell. And it's because of John Mara and Dave Gettleman. I mean, John Mara put his wrinkly fingerprints all over this roster. They picked a running back second overall, and because of it, they're now in quarterback hell. This team needs to be 3-14, 2-15. And I'm not coming at you guys. I'm just saying this team needs to be horrendous so they can have a chance next year to where they need to be picking in the top 5 or top 8 so that they don't have to trade up.
But let me throw this at you. I hear what you're saying.
Sure.
Because if you're going to be bad, if you're going to be bad, you want to get one of the quarterbacks either from Alabama or Ohio State. I get it. But if they're 10-7, that means Daniel Jones is good. Maybe they're earning quarterback hell then.
Sure, I'll take that too. But I just don't think Daniel
You just don't want them to be mediocre.
I don't want them to be essentially where the Bears are, where Peter, no right. offense, but where the Commanders are, where they have to trade 2 third-round picks for a guy like Carson Wentz or then they're right. recycling no quarterbacks offense, like they did in the 90s. That's no way to run a franchise. You want to be in a spot where the Bills are, or where, you know, the Ravens are, or, you know, teams with franchise quarterbacks that they know are going to be there for 10, 15 years. And the Giants had a chance at that, and unfortunately it goes back to picking Saquon second.
Well, that, I mean, we thank you for the phone call, Daniel. Don said it the day it happened. What are you picking a running back with the second pick in the draft? But, you know, Dave Gettleman with the gold jacket and all that, and unfortunately injuries have derailed Saquon. There's no way you should pick a running back with the second pick, because you can get a good running back in the fourth round, the third round. It's been proven. I think the Giants can't be eh. They have to make an exponential jump or be awful. I agree with Daniel in that sense. You can't be eh, because then what are you going to do? You have to probably get a recycled quarterback. You have to get a Garoppolo or somebody like that. So for you to get your franchise quarterback, you have to be dreadful.
Yeah. And I totally understand the caller's point. That was a smart call.
Look at you.
No, I give credit where credit is due.
Here's John in Maryland. John, is the Preakness as bad as everybody's making out to be?
Oh, it's a riot, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But is it gross also?
I love your show. I love. I hope God recovers real quick.
So do we.
And, you know, Peter went to College Park. I went to Maryland also. But my point is, with Daniel, he doesn't want to be in the position that the Redskins are trading picks to get a, you know, maybe a franchise quarterback. If I do recall, the Redskins beat the Giants twice last year.
Yeah.
So I guess he doesn't want to be in that position. Maybe he's going to be at the Preakness this year. I'm not sure, but my main point was the Orioles. I think with Mike Elias, you're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel.
It's taking a long time.
A lot of it had to do with the ownership. Peter Angelos has been very ill. And when they acquired Elias, they wanted him to follow the blueprint that he did with the Astros, where right. they did a complete rebuild. The thing is, they don't have the money coming in just yet. But if you look at the Orioles,
they have the money. The Suns don't want to. They don't want to spend it.
No, he's very sick, though.
The Suns have control of the team, so the Angelos family has a lot of money. They just don't want to spend it. I mean, when I was there, there's talk about that team being moved to Nashville. Which would be a crime to take the Orioles out of Baltimore. But they're taking it slow, and they're not adding anybody because the Suns don't want to spend the money. And you're right. Peter is supposedly, allegedly very ill. But now, the Suns are in control of the team, and they don't want to spend money.
Now, Michael, real quick, back to the Jets over-under. Win, loss, loss, loss.
Five and a half, right?
In Vegas, the total's 5.5.
I think I'd go over.
So based on what we just did, and right now it's the number one pick being made in Vegas, is the Jets over at 5.5.
I definitely could see that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.